Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how's everything been going?
Getting ready for the fair.
Absolutely. Yeah, a couple days away, and we'll be in full swing out there. You're going to be a busy boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we are.
Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah, it's going to be hard for me to stay on my nutrition challenge during fair week. You say Piggly Wiggly, I say elephant ear.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're all good. You know, my doctor said I wasn't getting enough cholesterol. So.
Absolutely. Definitely looking forward to that great Tri-City event, and always kind of helps wrap up summer there. We always like to hear from our in-house lending specialist with us today, Mr. Mike Denslow from Home Street. Mike, how's everything going with you?
I'm just glad I wake up in the morning and see some blue sky, and it feels like Tri-Cities again now that smoke's blown away.
Holy smokes! It's been good to be able to see that and cleared up just in time for the apocalypse. I mean the solar eclipse. So you should be able to get a look at that on Monday. But yeah, it is. It's nice to go outside and shoot. We hiked Badger this weekend, and nice to be up there and actually be able to see things.
Well, getting back outside and enjoying the Tri-Cities, I mean, that's awesome.
I know. It stole two weeks of our summer from us. So definitely good to be going along with that. The real estate market is still continuing to blister along at a hot pace, and it's going good. There's a little bit more inventory out there than we've had, and it was inventory we needed. So we've actually been able to put a lot of extra buyers into contract the last 2 weeks because there's some more homes available. We're able to get into them, and a couple of them we even got before multiple offers. So nice to have some choices out there for some of our buyers that were waiting. If you felt discouraged and took July off, definitely give us a call, because getting back into the market right now, there's some great fall inventory coming on. So we've been working really hard with a bunch of our buyers there.
You know, there was a house in our neighborhood. I was talking to somebody about a situation you're talking about, inventory. And there was a house in our neighborhood that went up for sale. And I was talking to another neighbor, and they said, yeah, well, we had some friends that were trying to get in on it, but they just got edged out. And he was talking about, man, people are gobbling up the houses.
Yeah, they still are.
You're talking about the supply. They're moving.
They're still moving quickly. And so it's a great time to be looking and have a few more choices and still selling for record mounts. So please let us know if you're interested in either of those. Before we jump into today's local topic, we always kind of like to look at our crazy celebrity real estate story. And this takes us to a spot where we see a lot of crazy numbers out of, and that is back to the beach in Malibu. Mm. And down there in Malibu, California, recently, Edward Norton took advantage and closed on a beach house for $11.8 million. Now, crazy beach house, it was actually built by a renowned architect, John Lautner, who studied and apprenticed under Franklin Lloyd Wright. Mm. And so this has a cement curvature, like a half moon curved aspect to the house that is absolutely incredible, that hides a pool inside underneath it. So this house on the beach, it has 37 feet of its own private beachfront in Malibu, which I know that doesn't seem like a lot, but in Malibu, that's a lot. And this house had actually been on the market the last couple of years, ranging from $22 million down to the recent list price of $13.75. So he went in a little bit low at $11.8 and snagged it. And that house is actually listed on the National Register of Historic Houses. So pretty cool spot for him, and to see own something that was designed by such a renowned designer, pretty incredible. But I think, I didn't even know this, but in the article it said his wife, Shauna Robertson, is also in film and actually has produced films. She did Anchorman, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, and Knocked Up. So between the two of them, when you look at all their film credits, I think they're going to be able to afford it. So,
not a problem.
Not a problem at all. Well, one of the things we always like to do is, you know, I kind of wanted to give Mike and Home Street a little bit more time today to look at the process. We've been doing a lot of business back and forth. We've had some great deals go under contract, some deals finalize and close. And your team over there is just knocking it out of the park at Home Street, Mike. Very, very efficient. And thank you for all the hard work for the clients you've been doing over there. But what's going on in your lending world that you want to talk about today?
Well, the main thing that we look at is the close date. We get a contract, we look at that close date, and we kind of reverse engineer when certain things need to get done. So we're meeting the close date, and they're keeping everybody happy. But as far as the process goes, I've mentioned it before that I like to talk with the client about what their goals are, how long they plan on having the house. Are they going to be selling another house and then dropping that money in? Just everyone's situation is a little bit different. So having that conversation, I don't push people to a website and say, apply over here. You just never get the information that you need to make a good recommendation. I sit down with a lot of clients and go over goals and different things and show them multiple scenarios. If they say they want to get pre-approved to $250,000, I show them $225,000 and $250,000. Just so they see, oh, well, yeah, if we ended up buying a house at 225, this is the payment difference. This is the cash difference. We talk about credit. We talk about a lot of different things, but get them comfortable with everything. And then, yeah, then they go out there. They find a house. They get a hold of me. Hey, we found this house. We're going to put in an offer at 239. And I ask them what the address is so I can get the taxes. I want to give them an updated payment for that day. Hey, if you buy this house today and we're able to get the rate locked in and everything set, you're looking at a payment of this. Okay, good. And they feel comfortable putting their name on the bottom.
Well, and I appreciate that. And there was a nugget you said in there that I would like to pull out. And that is the fact that I like how you said, even though they might be approved for 225, but they could go to 250, we'll look at 250 and see what that looks like, or look at 275 to see what that looks like. Because when people get out looking, having that knowledge of already knowing what that payment is, sometimes that opens up some big doors for them. We might be looking only up to 225. But up to 225, maybe we only get three bedrooms. And then they're looking at reselling again in 3 years down the road, where if you've already looked at a payment amount and talked to them about 250, a lot of times we'll have clients say, hey, you know what? Mike said we could go to 250. If we can do we get the fourth bedroom? And so it really helps us when they're with us to say, you know what, if you do want to and you're comfortable with that payment, yeah, we can probably get you that fourth bedroom in that new range of 250.
Yeah, options. It's all about education and options, and the client is going to make their choice, and you're just trying to help them with that choice.
Now, one of the things I think that happens, and people ask us a lot when they're out with us looking at homes, is they'll say, okay, we've got that contract. I know you're going to send it over to Mike. We already met with him. But what happens now? So Mike's going to get that contract on the house that we found a house. And then what the heck is going on over there at Home Street after that meeting?
Well, during that meeting, we're going to talk options. We're going to talk about rate. We're going to talk about mortgage insurance. We're going to talk programs. We're going to talk about the best setup for them. After that, we get everything locked in. We move forward. What we do on our end is we're going to disclosures next. The government wants everyone to know what the terms look like within 3 days. And get all that paperwork in front of them so they can digest legal documents. This is what everything looks like. There's a lot of disclosures that they need to sign that allows us to do things for them. Verifications of employment, pulling bank statements, I mean, double checking with the IRS that they file a tax return, verifying with Social Security Administration that their social is actually their social. I mean, a lot of different things happen in the back end. After the disclosures come out, then we go to processing. Actually, right before that, when we get the disclosures, we order the appraisal. In this market, anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks on an appraisal just depends on how backed up the appraisers are.
Yeah, and that's a good point that you bring up there, because you're getting that contract, you're starting the ball rolling, and then we generally are going to have a home inspection in the first 10 days. And if you catch the appraisal cycle at the wrong time, or the right time, depending upon how you look at it, now we're 4 weeks out on an appraisal, and you've waited 10 days until that inspection was done. That's one of the big reasons right now why we're seeing 45 days be a normal closing time period, when maybe a year and a half or 2 years ago, it was getting knocked out in 30.
Absolutely.
But because of the pressure of the number of transactions with the limited number of appraisers, to be safe, I think people should be counting on around that 45-day mark.
Yeah, totally agree. So we get the appraisal ordered. Processing is going to take a look at it. You got to think of processing as kind of a junior underwriter. They are helping sales, the loan officers, double-check everything that we have in the file, making sure that we can go to underwriting. We've got enough bank statements, we've got enough W-2s, and we've got everything else that we need so underwriting can do a full review of the file. We go to underwriting, they come back. The best thing you can get on our end is what's called a one and done. Basically, hey, we don't need to see this file again.
Wow.
You know, we've looked at everything. Maybe the appraisal is coming in. Everything else looks good. And the appraisal comes in, that gets reviewed. You go to closing. There's a closing disclosure that gets signed about 4 or 5 days before closing. That allows docs to go out. And we just had, I mean, we had multiple last week, actually.
Yeah.
Where they were signing the closing disclosure and had a 2-day grace period. It was some new teachers, was one of them. And they were able to come in and sign. And then because the next day they were teaching, they couldn't come in that day. And they were funding the following day. People ask me, what's funding and closing and what are all these things mean? Basically, that's when you're getting the keys. That's when you're getting – when the home is being recorded into your name at the county, and your agent is going to bring you the keys, get you the keys so you can start moving in.
And there's a lot of steps in there. I know a lot of these disclosures and stuff, if people haven't bought in the last 3 years, a lot of these requirements are newer. And so they have the disclosures up front once they get a contract on the deal and you go to work on it. And then again, when you get to the final stage, you're signing disclosures again.
Well, the closing disclosure, this is new. The old term was good faith estimate.
Exactly.
And now it's the loan estimate, which is in the beginning, and then that becomes the closing disclosure in the end. And it's just a much easier thing to read. The numbers are bigger, and the language is more clear. Can this change? No. Can this change? No.
And so it's not like the old days where that was buried in a paragraph on page 2. I mean, yep. They've made it very, very clear. You're getting a fixed rate or you're getting a variable rate, and here's the percentage. It's laid out very, very easily for people to know what they're getting.
Yeah, and the big thing is, can this change? I mean, principal and interest rate, yeah, those aren't going to change. Unless you've selected an adjustable rate. And then the prepaids, which is taxes and insurance, which can change, right? Your property taxes can change and your homeowner's insurance can change. So it breaks out that payment, shows you a bottom line number that you can feel comfortable with. But again, it's education, follow-up. People ask me, you know, why do I hear so many agents, you know, recommending HomeStreet? And it's like, well, we have follow-through. We know what we're doing. And I guess we just don't mess around. We sit there and we work. You know, we go to work and we work all day. We take short lunches and we go back to work. That's what we do.
Absolutely. Well, we love sending our clients over to you. And I've actually got some houses for those clients to buy. Quick residential pick 3 before we go into our break. We're going to talk a commercial real estate with James Wade after the break. But before that, real quick, some basic ones. 620 East 7th Avenue in Kennewick. This needs a little sweat equity in it. fixer up a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, but really all it needs is AC system and it needs a new roof. But they've gone through, they've repainted the interior, they've put in new carpet. Estate sale, 1320 square feet, 3-bed, 2-bath Rambler, very convenient location on 7th in Kennewick. You've got a master bedroom, 2 walk-in closets with its own 3-quarter bath, slider off the dining room, fully fenced side yard. The seller has said price it with needing those items. Mm. And so they've allowed us to price it at $125,000.
Wow.
So to get that square footage for $125,000, fantastic opportunity. Pick 2, 5511 Coolidge Court in Pasco. Now, this is actually a Rambler. This is a huge Rambler, 2390 square feet, 4-bedroom, 3-bath in a cul-de-sac. Awesome kitchen, full tile backsplash, stainless steel appliances, built-in oven. Very, very nice. Oversized master bedroom. Great, great house with RV parking. Priced at $269,900. So that's a great one over in Pasco. And then North Pasco, if you've been looking for acreage, 5.7 irrigated acres in North Pasco, 1296 square feet. This is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home, open layout, master bedroom with private bathroom, huge front deck, covered back deck. And that's, once again, 5.7 irrigated acres, North Pasco, and that's coming in at $250,000. So there's some inventory out there. Give me a call if you have any questions at all about those. And after the break, we're going to go into and talk a little bit about what's going on in the commercial real estate world.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been catching up on some local topics. Before the break, we were talking to Mike Denslow at Home Street about what's going on over there. Absolutely killing it for our clients and just doing a great job over there. One of the things we wanted to do today, it had been a couple months since we had caught up with our commercial division, so I got Mr. James Wade in here to talk to us a little bit about commercial real estate. James, how you doing?
Life is good. The smoke is gone.
Yeah, we were talking about that a little bit before the break, and you seem to be as appreciative of that. It seems like everybody has grown some appreciation for that just in time for the fair, like McKay was saying. So, yeah, nice to see some blue sky out there and see some things going on. Well, James, one of the things that we've seen is I've definitely seen a lot of your signs up around town on a lot of these commercial buildings. And so I just wanted to check in with you and see what the heck's going on in the commercial world. And what have you been working on over there?
You know, I have been very busy. Yesterday was a day with a out-of-town business moving into town looking for a location. That's always fun because you start at the beginning with, okay, we have 2 counties, we have 3 cities, and go from there. And it's fun to share our community with people from outside of this community. But if they're coming here, it's because they're greedy capitalists and they want to make money.
I love it. I love it.
Turns out I'm one, too.
Okay, there you go.
And so our economy locally is strong, robust, and probably more importantly, it's predictable. So we're not doing 40% spikes followed by 50% drops. We're doing 2.5 to 3% a year, tick, tick, tick. And the market likes that because it can bank on it. So commercial is very busy. I seem to be spending most of my time lately either leasing buildings or selling land. And those seem to be the two most vigorous right now.
Absolutely. And now I noticed in the past you had talked to us a couple months ago. I had some notes from the show. You had worked on leasing a project out at Sandifer and Road 90. Mm-hmm. It was 8 suites, office with combination garages in the back. Now, driving by out there, I've noticed that you leased up all 8 of those suites. They were full. And it looks like sticks are going up on four more, so you're expanding that project.
You know, we did the fun thing. We had 8 units. We filled them all, and with a really great mix of clients. I'm going to say I'm biased, but I think that's one of the most attractive buildings in the Tri-Cities, especially for that, you know, light industrial in the back end, office in the front. That's just a really, really nice-looking building. So we did the only logical thing, and that's build 4 more of them and raise the rates. So we're
absolutely. Well, good. That's fantastic. And then I believe also I had seen some signs up, quite a bit of activity going on, very popular area, a lot of buildings going up, but also quite a few of your signs up around the Queensgate area. So Richland, South Richland, Queensgate, it looked like a building that you had put like Orange Theory Fitness into it. It looks like they were open now.
Orange Theory's open and going, and they're in an orange building.
Absolutely.
That building is noted by its color scheme, and the owners wanted something different than the standard Tuscan tan stucco, so they got it. We got orange and red, and that building is full, and we got some extremely attractive rents for that building. So the landlord is cash flowing before he gets his certificate of occupancy, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and it's fun. I noticed you, I mean, you really kind of specialize in helping people. If there's anybody out there that's thought, gosh, I would like to, you know, find a piece of dirt, build a commercial building, and then work on leasing that with those tenants and filling it up, those are packages that you're doing every single month. I see those come through the office, and we talk about that. That process, what's the best way? Is it just to have an initial meeting with you? If somebody's out there looking at building and filling a commercial building like that, what's the first step in that process?
You know, the first piece of the puzzle is what is the client that you're working with looking to achieve, and what's their investment goals? Do they want to hold? Do they want to sell? What sort of financial parameters do they have to work with? And then the next part of the puzzle is, what does the market need? Road 90 is a classic example of the market really needs some high bay in the back, office in the front space. God bless Butler buildings and the people that make them, but doesn't look like your standard metal box, but actually has some appeal to it. So if you had a contracting business and you wanted your clients to come and visit you, you want them to know that you're doing okay, but you don't want them to know that you're doing really, really well. So a nice, nice professional, but not ostentatious building. So you start with what the client wants, and then you go with what the market needs, and you find the place to put it. And you fill it. And, you know, both of those buildings are full. Both those projects, Queensgate and Road 90, are full and were full before we completed them. And at some very, very attractive lease rates. And the market said, yeah, we want it. And that's where we want it. We'll take it.
It's almost like an art form.
Yeah.
It's like creating, you know.
It really is. And, I mean, and there's a lot that goes into that analysis. And I know, James, you've seen a lot of it. But, you know, one of the things I've liked, because I've sat in on some of these client meetings and I see you with folks, and what I love about when you're sitting down with somebody is they'll present 2 or 3 properties, and then they might have a 4th or 5th. And I love it because I've seen you say, do you really want to be there? Is this what you're trying to do? And so, you know, I've actually seen you turn down options that people wanted because you didn't think that was the right thing for them.
You know, there's a couple of things you'll hear me say in those meetings. And one of them is that real estate lessons are expensive. So if you're wrong and you put the wrong thing in the wrong place, it's going to cost you a lot of money to fix it. And the other thing is real estate decisions are kind of like getting married. It really pays to pick the right person the first time because it's a lot easier to get married and a lot cheaper to get married than it is to get divorced. So,
James Wade applying his life principles
there you go.
To his real estate business. Well, that is absolutely fantastic. I know you've been extremely busy, so appreciate you coming in and taking the time to update us on the commercial real estate world. You can always go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message. We can get you over to James. If you would like to do some of those, build the commercial building, fill and lease the commercial building, please let us know and we'll get you in contact with him so you can start that analysis. Do you have a property a pick one, two, three. Do you have one that sticks out before we go that you want to mention as a great property that you're looking for a tenant or looking for a sale?
You know, what's funny is I drove over here, I was thinking how much I appreciate how organized you are and the systems that you have, and how much I enjoy flying in the face of them on occasion. So,
Fantastic. I love it. So I will push you on the fact that if somebody wants to look at that, please let us know. Go to the website. Under the commercial real estate, you can see all of our listings. There's some great property out there. And as always, enjoy the fair this next week. And we will be right back here next Saturday.
Right here on News Talk 870.